Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman.
Everyone, and thank you so much for joining us this evening on air. This is Jennifer Hellman, and tonight's guest is Anthony J.W. Benson, he brings so much creativity, genius in so many ways that I actually found him on Facebook, and I was just amazed by all the different things that this man does. So I really wanted to get him on the air to really talk about some of his endeavors and his thoughts on manifestation and the creative process. He really has a beautiful, unique form in his founding company of Enjoy Creativity and Enjoy Creativity and Enjoy Music. It's artistic. He does so many things that, as usual, I get so excited having this. My guests are just so fantastic that I get a little tongue-tied, so I apologize, Anthony, but you really, looking at your website, it's like, wow, and it's just, you're so young, so, and you have so much more to give.
Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer. It's a pleasure to be here with you, and hello to all the listeners.
You got started, it says here on your website, which is AnthonyJWBenson.com. That you've been doing this for about 30 years.
That's true.
And you've been focusing on the creative arts during that time. And then did you kind of mix in there the spiritual aspects of it, or did you always have both at the same time?
Well, I don't think I had both at the same time. To be clear, you know, I was very fortunate when I was young to be exposed to a lot of creativity, and specifically through the arts. My mom was a publicity director and worked with the ballet and worked with the zoo and had a background in radio and acting and things of that nature and writing. And I was very fortunate. I don't know that I realized it at the time, but, you know, being exposed to some of the top ballet performances, to top comedians, to top live shows, concerts, events. And that really colored my world, took it out of, you know, just this elastic and playing in the neighborhood and sports-oriented mindset that I had, that there was this other way of going and expanding my mind. And I was pretty good in school, so I was creatively expressing myself there as well. But once I was exposed to the arts, it opened a new world for me. And so I jumped in pretty deep, pretty fast, meaning that I started listening to music. I mean, I had these great memories of me sitting in the basement playing LPs on a 45 player.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just changing my mind and my consciousness of all the textures and sounds and ideas that could meld through just this particular expression, and this being music. And so as I got older, I realized that I needed to express myself. And I wasn't necessarily, you know, at a place where I was old enough to have a spiritual consciousness yet. But for me, you know, creativity is really a reflection of our true essence.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really matter how we express. And the arts just happens to be, you know, arts and communications has been where I've done most of my expression and work. But it could be through anything. It could be through sewing, through cooking, through working on a car. It doesn't really matter. Creativity knows no bounds.
Mm-hmm.
And creativity really, you know, truthfully is, in my mindset, is it's the birthplace of individuality. And how we create and how we express that creativity really is indicative of who we are in the world. And so for me, taking that step into the arts and music, I eventually found myself, you know, we can get into it later, into the music business, but it wasn't until later in life where I had a lot of challenges that I had to kind of face up to my own sense of self and begin a journey of kind of, you know, being at rock bottom, which I was. I had, you know, just, you know, a truncated version of it is that I was on my own and had experienced a lot of challenges and hardship and was heavily into drugs and living out of my car and just had a whole bunch of horrible stuff going on, and I needed to either overcome that or die.
Mm-hmm.
And overcoming it is what I needed to do to survive and to eventually blossom into the ever, you know, evolving self that I am today. And once that doorway opened, it enabled me to step deeper into my expression of self, into my creativity, which, you know, laid the foundation for all the work that I do today.
Now, there's a lot of people that have that one pivotal moment that really they made that choice to really get out of the place where they are. Did you have one of those moments, or was it just gradually just being at rock bottom, you just said, I can't live like this anymore, and you just started to build out of it?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. But no, I'm sure at one level there was an accumulation of components that led to, you know, circumstances that, you know, I had to kind of make a choice to sink or swim.
Right.
But for me, specifically to your question, I had what I refer to as a spiritual awakening because I was so rock bottom. And, you know, it was witnessed by a room full of people. And, you know, and it's actually covered in a story that I contributed to a book that can be found on my website under articles. But it's The Recovery of Self. And I lay this story out about where I came from and what was happening to me at such a young age. And so I had an awakening where I was given a shot at doing it differently. Because if I hadn't, Jennifer, I would have died. I mean, I was really clear in that. I was leading such a difficult, abusive, self-harming lifestyle that there was no way that I would have survived it much longer. So being given that opportunity to, you know, rebirth, I honor that rebirth very much so, and so I don't take it for granted, and so I have committed myself from that day forth, which is, you know, over 30 years plus now, that I have stepped into exploring myself, helping others explore themselves, and bringing all my experience, creativity, and skill set to the table when, and you know, whenever possible, to make a difference in projects and people's lives and products, etc.
Yeah, there's so many artists and very creative people who have had those similar situations where you almost have to really hit bottom to really realize the blessings of the journey, even going down, at least for me. A lot of challenges the last 10 years, and I'm coming out of it, but it is really inspiring some wonderful writing and art and really understanding and having empathy for what people are going through so I can help my clients even more. And I'm sure you do the same, because there are a lot of artists who abuse the alcohol and the drugs and really take their talents almost for granted and then get a rebirth in another chance.
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. The tortured artist is a bit of a cliche, but there's some resonance with that due to the fact that, quite honestly, those who want to express their creativity don't always have an understanding of what that is and are really shackled by fear. And fear, you know, is the worst enemy of those who need to express themselves, because it is keeping you cemented into a position of sameness. And, you know, my belief, and it's just a personal perspective, but, you know, our life here is so short that, you know, for me, it's about expressing and experiencing all that I can before I go, because life has so much to offer. And, you know, to sleepwalk through life is an unfulfilling one for me. So, you know, being wide awake and challenging myself, whether it's difficult, painful, joyful, it doesn't really matter. It's the sensory, physical, emotional, spiritual experience which fuels all the expression of self, which can come through the form of creativity. And for those who, you know, battle with, you know, addictions and family challenges and such, those are just challenges and are able to be dealt with one way or another, and it depends on the depth of where you want to go
right.
to in order to turn that around. But, you know, as I'm sure you've experienced, as you just shared, you know, that experience, that life experience, completely contributes to who you are today and how you interact with the world and what you offer as a human being and what you offer to your clients.
Yes. And do I have any regrets? No. Absolutely none. Even though it was tough and very challenging, it made me grow. It made me look deeper at how I value myself and how I value other people and just life overall, because I am finding that the creative process, I am very much like you, and I think that's what, another reason why I really wanted to connect with you is we do have very similar direction that we're going. We really want self-expression and to help people find that, because it is just incredible. My biggest joy is to hear somebody said, yes, my dream was this and I achieved it. Thank you so much for pushing me to do it.
Right. That's great.
You know, it's giving me that opportunity to do the soundboard and figure out everything and then go for it.
Right.
And you work a lot with music and musicians, which is alone a very high vibration, any of the arts are, but music especially. Do you find that's one reason why you're really drawn to the music, because it's just such a vibrant atmosphere for self-expression?
Well, for me, music is really the first creative outlet that I experienced as a listener and as someone that could just, you know, receive, you know, whether it's the Beatles or Pink Floyd or whatever I cut my teeth in as a kid. That form of artistry really took me to places. And so, you know, first and foremost, I'm a fan of music. I am just a huge fan of singers and songwriters and bands of all styles of music. I mean, you know, from hard rock to opera and everything in between, it doesn't matter. I just think it's a stunningly rich, vibrant, beautiful way of expressing, and it's universal. And it speaks to a deeper part of ourselves. You know, it's one of the first forms of communication, you know, between beings, and I love it. So carrying that through my life and my work has been easy because I'm so passionate about it. And, you know, through the many years of being involved, you know, from a fan to being a manager to, you know, being involved with all aspects of promotion and public relations and branding and eventually into songwriting and production, which I do today, and consulting, it enables me to bring all the tools that I have to the table to help people in what it is a very difficult business, because it is, you know, creative to be sure, but it's a business. And, you know, it's becoming increasingly difficult for musicians and artists to make headway and have a modicum of success, because just the nature of the beast of what the business holds for them. So, you know, with all that, I got so turned on that it's so easy for me to stay involved with it because I'm passionate. And passion, I think, is such an important component of the creative expression. You know, expression in that regard is really the purest form of self. And it doesn't matter whether it's through, you know, playing guitar or wielding a knife in the kitchen, you know, finding that voice for you in terms of how you want to share yourself with the world is so, so important. Because the world is a lesser place without it. And we're all here to contribute. And we all have something vital to share with one another. And and it's so great that we don't do it all the same way. I would hate that everybody's art or form of expression was guitar or poetry, which is not to lessen the value of either of those, just that so many other forms of creativity are needed and need to be experienced by all of us.
Yes, and you have dabbled in quite a few, and so do I. And with the passion, and if you got imagination, the world is wide open. It really is, in for self-expression and really understanding yourself and The one thing that I found with expression, and I was wondering if you agree, is there is a vulnerability to it as well. And that's where the fear and do I really want to go out and let everybody know this part of me? Do you find that there's a vulnerability to it?
Very much so. I think the fear component that keeps people stuck is because they are very scared to reveal themselves in the totality of who they are, in the purest expression of self, and ridicule or embarrassment and all that stuff that we put on it. It's like we need to be unabashedly proud of who we are and how we mm-hmm. how we share ourselves. And, you know, society isn't always supportive of that, and certainly people can be mean-spirited and petty. But I have found that disregarding that and staying true to you, you will serve as a beacon of light to, you know, the moths, so to speak, of like-kind interests who mm-hmm. resonate with what it is you have to offer. You just have to do what you do with integrity, professionalism, sincerity, and heart, and let it fall where it is. And it doesn't matter if only one person reads your poem, or if 50 million does. That's not the reason, in my mind, to express yourself and to be creative. The importance of being creative and expressing yourself is to serve the higher part of you. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, and if others get to benefit from that in some shape or form, then that's an extra bonus.
Now, how did you get over your fear, or did you feel you had a fear when it came to expressing yourself?
Well, expressing myself came in many forms. You know, as I was younger, you know, I did it scholastically, and mm-hmm. then through sports, but you know, as I mentioned earlier, once I got exposed to the arts, I knew, you know, it's kind of, I joke with people sometimes, kind of, you know, the big craze right now is vampires, and I liken it to being bitten by a vampire because, you know, once you're bitten by it, you're mm-hmm. in it lifelong, and that's how it was for me. I mean, the music, arts, poetry, writing, film, all that type of creative expression, for me anyway, is what really resonated with me, and so I started exploring all those components, and I found myself in a myriad of opportunities, you know, available to a myriad of opportunities that I took advantage of. And the reason that I did is because I chose to jump into the deep end of the pool. And that's an analogy I use quite a lot when I'm speaking or with clients, because you have to believe that you know how to swim. And if everything is about just dipping your toe in and taking your time, then you're never really going to enjoy all that you can by splashing about and having fun. It's like, I believe that I can swim. I have that faith in myself. And that's really what I, you know, try to help a lot of people with, is that part of self-doubt can be so crippling because mm-hmm. there's no reason to doubt yourself. We're not born doubting ourselves. That's a learned, you know, component of our lives. So that gets thrust upon us by family and outsiders and society and other circumstances, which we give our power away to dictate perhaps how we will behave. And I'm, you know, I'm a big believer, as long as it's not harmful to yourself or others, any way that you express yourself has validity and it's valuable. So jumping into the deep end of the pool and that creative abandon that I think is so necessary, is something that I encourage everybody to do, because the worst thing that'll happen through that is that you will learn something new. And I try to take out the thought process of right and wrong, because that is about judgment. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly music, art, writing, et cetera, is in the eyes and ears of the beholder, and I believe that's true. It's not one person or any group of people can dictate whether something is good or not. That becomes another discussion. But the process of voicing yourself, expressing yourself, bringing forth the inner into the outer has such validity that you really need to go for it and not worry about what the consequences are of reaction. Because, again, it ties into my belief that we do it to serve the higher good of ourself. And if other things happen from that, then fantastic.
And a mistake is not truly a mistake. It's just an experience.
Well, decisions lead to other decisions,
yeah.
You know, and any process that you go through and you learn from it enables you to make another choice. You know, we always have choices, and it's just about how we navigate our own waters, and making those choices. And, you know, there's that whole kind of concept. You know, I always liked the notion. I think it was covered in a movie. I forget what the name was, with Gwyneth Paltrow years ago, but, you know, that belief, if you walk out the door and catch,
mm-hmm.
you know,
sliding
bus
door.
A, sliding door, if you catch bus A, what your day will be like versus if you wait 10 minutes for the next bus.
Right.
What happens? And there's always these choices, and those choices will always dictate a different experience in that moment that'll lead to another moment that'll lead to another moment. But for me, it really is the piece of not allowing ourselves to be ourselves that we have adapted to an imprint that has really kept us bound in a way that is really unfortunate. So part of my work is really dedicated to helping people break those shackles again, the ropes that bind us. Those emotional ropes, and allow us to kind of be free. And that doesn't mean that everybody has to go out and write a bestseller or record a new album. That's far from it. It's really finding out what fits for you.
Mm-hmm.
But to creatively express is really a huge gift to yourself. And to not allow yourself to do that would be a sad thing.
Okay, now you've mentioned a couple times you help people get over those crippling things. Can you give some suggestions here on a couple ways people might be able are you just basically saying the good old Nike slogan, go do it?
Well, I think it's a little deeper than that, but that's part of it. And there's certain, you know, resonance to that notion of, you know, just friggin' do it. You know,
right.
Yes. I love that. And I think that's important. But, you know, that's hard for a lot of people, you know, because words and you know, the cheering component doesn't always necessarily help people move their foot forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it really kind of comes down to is what's inside of us that's keeping us stuck. And so if you look at it in terms of layers and the unpeeling of ourselves, like what is at the core, which is not to say, you know, my role is not as a doctor or as a licensed therapist, but I've experienced enough and worked enough in this realm, both, you know, oddly enough in that area in terms of you know, the mind and psychology, mm-hmm. but also more in the practical experience of doing this for so long with so many people, that old tapes, old belief systems
mm-hmm.
is really what we're dealing with. And, you know, if you just put people away from all the outside influence and gave them, you know, a room full of crayons and paints and all that and just said, go have fun, there would be no stuff attached. But when it comes into the real world, like, oh, gosh, you know, I'm a checkout person at Target, and yet, you know, I really want to do this book. Well, what's the disconnect from keeping that from happening? It's not that you can't. Anybody can do this. Anybody can put the time, energy, and heart into something and manifest. But the difference between the concept and the thought process to the actual manifestation is where there is the widest chasm. And
mm-hmm.
so that chasm needs to be closed. And that process of closing the chasm is really, not to avoid your question, but is really an individual process, because everyone's stuff is different. Everyone's experience, everyone's pain, everyone's challenges, everybody's imprint, old tapes, is different.
Mm-hmm.
That aside, whatever those differences are, the one unifying component in all that is that we have believed, somehow, we have believed the lies.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one thing that I try to help people is, whatever those tapes are, is to kind of break the system of believing them and somehow giving our power away to them. And that
mm-hmm.
empowering process comes through, you know, kind of sometimes baby steps, and sometimes it's large leaps. It all depends on the individual. But the process of that journey just needs to be begun, and it doesn't matter where the journey leads or how long the journey lasts. What matters is that you take the journey.
Right. It's, as a kid, I was the youngest of a rather large family, and I heard you can't do that quite a bit. So I would do it secretly and tell them after the fact that I did it, because I just didn't want the criticism. I didn't want to hear that I couldn't do it, because every time I did, it shut me down. So I built myself up by doing it and not saying a thing. So they were very surprised when they found out I was in a high school play, and they were very surprised that I actually wrote a book of poetry and published it. They were very surprised at all these little steps that I did, because they really didn't think I would or could. And it really changed their perception of what they were laying on the family. And it's like I used them actually as a motivating factor to push me to do it anyway.
Good. That's great.
You know, it's like they were the obstacle, and I was going to get around them. So everybody has a different way of looking at it. I've always been the optimist, and I try and show people, and I'm sure you do, the brighter way, the bonus of taking that leap to get through that, the obstacles and the bumps in the road. And enjoy the process. Because a lot of people just want, they have trouble doing the process because it can be kind of difficult at times.
And that's okay. I think the difficulty, and I don't know that one will always enjoy the process, and that's okay too. That's just part of the, that's part of the adventure and part of the experience. Not everything feels great all the time.
Oh, no, no.
But, what, you know, it's not unlike hiking up a mountain. You know, you have moments of beauty and clarity, and other times you're huffing and puffing and wondering what the heck you're doing there. And that's the same process through, you know, self-expression and through the creative process as well, is that, you know, my experience is that the journey will be uniquely my own relative to whatever I choose to show up and do. And it's the same for everybody else. And we can always sit down on a rock and take a breather. We can also rethink it. We can also make different choices. None of this is, you know, the whole notion of this, I think, often is both appealing and repugnant, because the scary part, the repugnant component, is that it's too much, I can't handle it, it's a sentence, and it's sentencing somehow. And I think that's a danger when we get into, you know, we've sentenced ourselves to some arduous, overbearing, difficult, painful task. Well, who wants to do that? I certainly don't. It doesn't sound very appealing. So that's why bite-size, you know, moments and baby steps and all those things sometimes have great validity in the process, because everyone has to go at their own pace. But the most important piece, again, is that they, you know, back to the Nike slogan, is that they just do it. That's not always easy. And it's often fraught with pain, challenges, but I will say the overarching, you know, piece of that that is always there more often than not is that there is joy, self-satisfaction, accomplishment, and that can, you know, no one would trade that in for the world.
Yeah, and the joy of surprising yourself. And I find it's like, wow, I wrote that. That's pretty good. And, you know, and telling, and somebody else, wow, that's really good. And seeing they're like, yeah, that really is. And finding that confidence to take the next step.
Right.
And so the process, the creative process, can be up and down and all over the place, but the end result is, as you said, really being your true self and at the highest potential. And just keep growing, because there really is no, there's no ceiling. So the potential is huge, and it's wherever you set that limit, and hopefully you don't limit yourself.
Right.
Now, the other part that we need, that I really wanted to cover was we've done the kind of the creative process and going through it, and the other part is the process of manifestation. Do you think they're the same?
Absolutely not. You know, it depends on, you know, what one thinks of, you know, when it comes to creativity. But if we work from the concept that creativity is a reflection, you know, of our essence, right, our true essence, and that it's an expression of self, that can also take form in multiple ways. And, you know, people can be creative in multiple ways. But manifestation, you know, it's like, it's my whole thinking is that an idea is only as good as its execution. You know, an idea not kind of honored is just going to kind of languish. So how do you take your ideas or your thought process, and how do you bring it to fruition? How do you take those steps? Well, that's a big question, and for many that's very difficult. I do know for myself that because I've experienced and experimented in so many ways, because I have, you know, done a lot of work in creative ideation, where I've been hired by companies to just think creatively and to map all that out and throw it into the hat for those, you know, companies to do things with. But I've also developed product, you know, whether it's greeting cards or clothing or you know, CDs and commercials and things of that nature, which takes a completely different element. And I've also written music, I've written poetry, I've contributed to books, I've written articles. All of those pieces that I've shared with the world come from a different place of me. So my process is that I have to open myself to anything and everything. And I really think, you know, part of my creativity comes from understanding that not everything is a great idea. Not everything fits, not everything works, and that's okay. I don't put judgment on it, and I don't make myself wrong, and I don't set myself up for feeling crappy. If something doesn't get out of the initial, you know, incubation period. So I believe in throwing everything up on the wall and seeing what fits, and then working with that. And you know, I took a writing class years ago in Los Angeles. One of the most important things that was shared with me is writing is rewriting. And I always took that as, and then I reconfigured that thought process in my own mind for how it worked, as a sculptor can constantly reshape and rethink what they are sculpting. And that's really what's true for us in our creative process. And getting to the manifestation end of it is that we sculpt, we rethink, we reconfigure, we analyze, we wrap ourselves around it inside and out, 360, above and beyond. We look at what it is, and then we have to make choices along the way, because a lot of that becomes very kind of ethereal and very kind of like, oh, isn't that something, or isn't that a cool idea, and it just stays there. So how do you ground it? How do you bring it back into practical application? So it's the same notion, like, I want to climb Everest, right? Let's just say that's an idea. Well, there are the whole ton of things that go into making that happen. One, of course, is putting yourself into a physical, mental, and spiritual place that you can, you know, take on the challenge. The other, you have to invest money, you have to buy equipment, you have to show up at a place, you have to travel, you have to hire people, et cetera, et cetera. So that's that same practical component that comes into play in the creative process, is that you have to do the nuts and bolts. And that nuts and bolts becomes an arduous, sometimes difficult task for many, because it takes it out of the cool factor of the great idea and brings it into kind of what they see potentially as drudgery. And again, maybe they're not well educated in terms of how to execute things. Well, that is part of the process of manifestation. In order to make something real, you have to get practical. Whether it's, you know, Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, any of the great inventors, they had an idea, they did a lot of sweat equity invested. They put a lot of time and energy, and they put a lot of practical pieces into play in order to bring it through. That is important no matter if you're building a car or if you're writing a poem and you want to get it published. right? There's just practical pieces. And that's one of the things that, you know, I can help people with is whether it's helping them or executing it for them, is that there are these roads you have to travel to get from point A to point B. The nice part of all that is that there's a gabillion roads, and there's a lot of different ways to travel them. So there's not just set ways that are in stone. You've got to figure out how to make it work for you, and that manifestation is going to be different for everybody, because everybody's expectation of what manifestation is different.
Yes. Now, some people get, and you mentioned how you have to rethink and regroup and look at it from different perspectives and things. I know a lot of people that's where they get stuck.
Mm.
Is they're getting so much information and so many ideas of what they can do with it that it's hard for them to take the next step forward out of that to make those choices. Do you have any suggestions of when to say enough processing, it's time to move on?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily that simple. And the reason being is that, you know, there's been this increase in people, you know, I think getting very wise that we can't do all this stuff alone.
Right.
You know, we need to reach out to others, whether it's our friends, our support system, to, you know, to therapists, to what now, you know, is popular, coaches, to teachers, to classes, online and in person, to seminars and webinars. And the reason that is so important, it's owning up to the reality that, you know, it does take a village. You know, it mm-hmm. takes people being able to put their expertise and energy into the right areas that serve the higher good of the process, the project, the person, the product, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. So, to your question, is that I don't know in a generic sense of when it's too much. It's too much when it's too much. And that can hopefully be ascertained by, you know, certain processes. That's, you know, one thing that I can help people with. But whether it's me or other coaches or other consultants or other people or other teams, classes, whatever, owning up to the reality that getting help is a smart move and not one of defeat, but one of power, where mm-hmm. you are empowering yourself to know that your skill set, your expertise, your experience only goes so far. I've used this, you know, example, I think you and I have talked before, but I've mentioned, it's like, I have no shame or embarrassment or weirdness about taking my car to somebody to get it fixed, because they are the experts in that area, and I seek and ask and welcome their help. The
right.
same with doctors, the same with a therapist, the same with whatever. So we do that in other areas of our life. So I think in this area it's also important, you know, where it's important if you've got a challenge in something that you go, you know, to the doctor, if you've got a physical ailment. Well, if you've got something going on with your creative process and you're stuck, that's an ailment of another kind. And so asking for and being open to receiving the help and guidance and expertise of others will only help that piece of getting unstuck and knowing when it's too much. Because when it becomes too much, that inundation is really born out of us trying to take too much on our individual shoulders.
Right.
And I believe it is... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say,
I think it's the wisest of us who ask for help and accept it.
And I was just going to add, once you say, yeah, I think I need help, it's amazing that people will come to you many times and say, hey, you know, I was just thinking about you. Or you just go to one person and say, you know, I'm doing this project, I'm a little overwhelmed. There's so many people who would love to help you. And it's just being open to receive that guidance and that help. And I think a lot of people, they love to give, but not always open to receive. I find a lot of people now are becoming more open to receive and understand it's giving equal energy. So it's a beautiful thing. It balances things out.
That exchange of energy is very important. And it's also important to understand the difference between asking for and receiving input and help from those around us. You know, it's for the same reason you don't want to diagnose yourself with something that's maybe seriously going on physically. That's why we go to doctors, naturopaths, whatever, right? So, you know, there are people like myself and myriads of others who this is their area of expertise. This
right.
is what we do. This is where our skill set is. You know, mine may not be as a doctor or as an airline pilot or whatever, but this is my area because I've honed it, you know, over 30 plus years, and I have a lot of experience in it. And so that's one of the, you know, the things I'm able to bring to people that I work with, you know, my clients, whether it's short term or long term. And there's many wonderful, talented people out there that do the same. And so that piece of asking for help is also no, you know, I always couch it in the concept of building a team. That team effort is really important. You know, it's the co-creation piece that is so important, because there's a real synergy and a real vibrancy and that kind of exciting anything can happen piece when we bring other people to our party, right?
Right.
Where we can have other people be enthusiastic and be able to bring their talent and expertise to our cause, whatever that may be.
Most definitely. Now, you have mentioned that you, or classes, do you have any, I mean, are you teaching any classes these days, or you've got so many projects going on that that's kind of taken, I know that you have a project coming up very soon.
Well,
about dreams, so.
Yep, I'm not teaching a specific class in this moment, though that will be changing. A dear friend, colleague, and also client of mine, Cindy Dale, who's a renowned best-selling author and intuitive teacher, she and I have put a lot of effort into certain projects. We created the Self-Healing Workshop, which you can learn more at selfhealingworkshop.com, which we did one last year in Sedona. But we've also developed something that was really important to me is this concept of dreams made manifest, which really kind of ties in to what we're talking about. And dreams made manifest is an overarching concept and theme that will specifically aid people in the process of realizing and bringing to fruition. So the manifestation part that we were talking about earlier is taking that concept and making it real. We'll be doing it for writing, we'll be doing it for music and other things. And so there is a basic catch, you know, a splash page right now for Dreams Made Manifest, so we can collect those who are interested in upcoming information, workshops, and classes can sign up. And that's dreamsmademanifest.com, and there's a place to, you know, sign up, and we'll get back to people shortly. And so in that, I will be doing some teaching. In the interim, I do one-on-one consulting work, both short-term and long, whether it's hourly, monthly, whatever, you know, the project, the need, and the person's, you know, desire is. And people can go to my website that you mentioned earlier, anthonyjwbenson.com, to learn more about what that is and, again, write me, call me, whatever, to talk further about how I might be able to be of help. And where I really love and really just kind of get excited is really jumping in the deep end with others and helping make a difference. Because, you know, when people knock on my door, what that tells me is they're ready for a change.
Mm-hmm. They're very serious about the change.
Yeah, they're very serious about the change. And when they are ready for that change is the most exciting time to jump in and be a strategist and a consultant, because I'm able to take all the energy, all the information, all the talent, all the excitement, and harness that and help them. And I really work, you know, Cindy, you know, because I work with Cindy quite extensively,
right,
has termed me as a helmsman. And that's really what I guess I do, you know, is I take the helm of things and help navigate the waters of their career, their business, their products, their projects, whatever that may be. So it's, you know, that process of shaping concepts and game planning, and I do my best to shepherd people to all the necessary people and opportunities that I possibly can.
Yes, and Cindy has been a guest on my show. She actually was one of the first guests on my show.
She was great.
And she was awesome. And she's always invited back on, so I have to get in touch with her. Obviously, I'm supposed to. she's such a busy lady. But she does have a way of helping people open up to their true potential, and I'm sure with you it must have been and is a wonderful experience to have both of you there to kind of guide you through the process of fulfilling your dream so it is made manifest, which there's a lot of ways you can do it, and definitely having the support system is huge to know that somebody really is behind and helping you kind of guide the way, because sometimes it can be overwhelming.
Well, it could be overwhelming, and when it's overwhelming, there's a tendency to shut down and to pull the plug. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is really sad, because I don't want anybody ever to do that if they don't have to. And it's important to know that there's support. Again, whether it's me or anybody else who can be of help, having that support, having that network, both personally and professionally, you know, supplies the buoyancy sometimes you need while jumping in the deep end. And so, you know, what I really endeavor to do, to your point, is that I'm a champion and a resource. And with my, you know, background, which is rather extensive, in doing this kind of work, I'm able to make the process more manageable, often quite easier, a little more fun, a little more focused, and getting from point A to point B isn't necessarily as arduous. And, you know, I suggest to anyone who's listening is if you're in the process of wanting to manifest your dreams and you've got ideas, you know, whether it's writing, painting, poetry, music, movies, it doesn't matter what it is, and you're feeling stuck, you know, you can certainly knock on my door personally. You can knock on Dreams Made Manifest. There's many other coaches and talented people out there that can be of service. It doesn't matter, but reach out. And it doesn't have to be long-term. Sometimes it's like, you know, going to get a reading or going to get acupuncture. You don't do it every week. But, you know, you need, every once in a while I got to go to Starbucks and get my, you know, chai soy latte, but I don't drink it every day. You know, every once in a while, you just need that thing. And so sometimes you just need the help. You just need that burst of input and support. And I think what that does is it lets us know we're not alone. It lets us know that help is always there for us. And one of the beautiful gifts that I'm given through this exchange, through this process, is that I get to co-create with other creative people. And that is a real buzz and exciting part for me. That's, you know, that's part of why I do all this.
And it is quite the buzz to, you know, see that smile on their face, or just even you can hear a smile even over the phone when something finally snaps and everything falls into place and it's right in front of them and they can see it, feel it, taste it, and experience it. It's quite the experience to be a part of that.
I totally concur.
So it's a beautiful process. So right now, we've got about 5 minutes left, so I just kind of want to wrap things up to make sure we kind of give a summary of the creative process and manifestation and a little bit about you and what you're up to these days, because you have quite a few new musicians that you're working with.
Well, I have a couple of great projects that I've just finished up. One of my wonderful, exciting roles that I get to live in my life is as a music producer, and I've just produced my second album for the very gifted and talented singer-songwriter Holly Long, who's out of Los Angeles, and gorgeous voice, brilliant songwriter. And I did her last album, Leaving Kansas, and we're just releasing today her new single, Pretty Picture Frame, from her new album, Frequency. And it's kind of a throwback with a respectful nod to 70s funk and soul, which is a nice, cool departure for her. And people can check her out on Facebook at Holly Long, and certainly at Reverb Nation / Holly Long. Another artist by the name of Mark Croft, who had heard one of these other albums of Holly's, Leaving Kansas, and asked me to produce his, and he's got a great funky vibe, gifted guitar player, and
excellent.
These artists. And he, And so that's really exciting. And of course, my in-depth, ever-evolving work with Cindy, with her career, and we're just starting a new apprenticeship program with Cindy, which is a year-long apprenticeship program that's available to everybody. And they can learn more at her website, CindyDale/apprenticeship, CindyDale.com/apprenticeship.
Now, do they have a group page on Facebook for that?
Yep, there's one there as well, and Essential Energy with Cindy Dale. Right. You can find everything you want to know about that. And that's exciting. That starts up in October, where we'll be streaming that, and it's an amazing price and a year-long experience with one of the best intuitive healers in the business. And people are signing up like mad right now, so it's really... That's very exciting, and that's something we've been wanting to do for quite a long time. We're additionally about to start with a new book with Cindy, which will be the first book. Is that I created a new imprint for publishing, which is Deeper Well Publishing, which will publish Cindy's projects, our projects, and the projects of others. And that'll be our first book out with that will be out in the spring of 2011. And then I continue to work with a lot of other talented, you know, business owners, musicians, artists, and creatives, you know, in one-on-one consulting. That keeps me plenty busy.
And with that, it's, like I said at the beginning, it's just, you get excited just hearing about all these projects. You get tongue-tied and saying, wow, if he can do it, I can do it too. So you're very inspirational even in that. Keeping on top of it is, got to be amazing.
Well, it's a lot of fun, and it's you know, it's again, it's where my passion is, so that's why I dedicate, you know, my work to all of this. And, you know, it's that a kind of entrepreneurial piece of it, you know, and it's and to those who go to AnthonyJWBenson.com and sign up for you know, my newsletter and an email list, they will get a free PDF download of an article that I wrote called The Entrepreneurial Life, a Heart-Based Business Strategy for Success.
Excellent.
And for some of the listeners here, that may be very, you know, helpful of kind of jump-starting some thought process of what to do next and, you know, what's really important. And part of that I share, and I'll just kind of end with this for you, is that, you know, an important quote of mine, because it really resonates with all that we're talking about, is, when interacting with the world, endeavor to be open to being open, open to possibilities, open to opportunities, open to co-creation, open to love. Being open creates an environment where anything can and usually does happen. And I really believe that. Personally and professionally, that's been my experience. And if I can be of help or support to anybody, I look forward to hearing from him.
And again, his website is AnthonyJWBenson.com. And with that, I thank you, Anthony, for taking some time and being on air. Amazing, wonderful time speaking with you. I hope to keep in touch with you and see even more things of the things you're doing. And I thank you once again, and many blessings and all the best to you and Cindy and all you're doing, because you're helping so many people with what you do.
Thanks, Jennifer. I really appreciate it. It's been a real pleasure to have this chat with you, and good luck with all your ventures as well.
Thank you. And with that, this is Jennifer Hellman saying, with each breath of air, we hope you gain new insights and inspirations. Until next time, many blessings and good night.